This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here for the Wednesday edition on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, NIL Game Changer, Brewers Outlet, and Purdy Insurance. Steve is at Quarterback Club right now, should be back at any time. Today is the first quarterback club of the year. Of course, Penn State travels to West Virginia Saturday for a noon kickoff. I believe Steve and Jack will be on the air here on 1070 AM at 10:30 in the morning on Saturday, so keep an eye out on that. On today's show at 1:35, we have Brandon Gaudin, who covers the Braves and is the play-by-play voice of Madden Football. 2:05, Tuesdays with Neil were rescheduled until today at 2:05. Matt Catrillo joins us at 2:35. And of course, Thursday's show, we will have our high school football podcast at 1, or high school football podcast, high school football roundtable at 1:35. And John Sauber of the Center Daily Times will join us at 2:35 to talk a little Penn State and get us ready for Saturday's game. So I wanted to get into some things that happened this weekend and in this week around the area. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Friday, about last week's... let me start that sentence over again. Monday, we talked about last Friday's football action. We got into it a little bit. I thought it was a good week. I know Steve read off some scores and pointed out the parity, and there wasn't that many blowouts, and that was a good thing. And I think we're in for a real fun football season. I think going back to last week, Warrior Run had a huge win over Muncie. I don't think a lot of people expected that to happen. I had a lot of confidence in the Defenders this season. I feel like, Derek Zekman has been building something there. It's been, they've been on the verge of breaking through. They probably feel like they should have won last year's game. They fell behind early with some turnovers against their rival, and they did a real good job of taking care of the ball this week and getting a real big win. And they play Montgomery this week, and if you look at Warrior Run's schedule right now, they're poised to be undefeated heading into a week 4 showdown with Lewisburg, and they should be in good shape. Depending, Lewisburg, Loyal Sock, and Warrior Run should be a real battle for Division 3, especially after Lewisburg's performance against Lime Mountain last week, winning 26-23. They kind of showed their full complement of what they want to do this season. They used all three running backs well, and Jeremiah Davis had 140 yards. Sean Fields, the one fullback, had a long touchdown run, and Quentin Michaels, who didn't run the ball much last year because he was nicked up with injuries and played almost strictly linebackers back as the other fullback, and he had 60 yards or more than 60 yards rushing. They played good defense, and they have one of the top weapons in their special teams in the area. And you think, oh yeah, he's a great kicker, Cohen Hoover, but he's a real good athlete, and he had almost 200 yards rushing last year out of fake punts. That gives them an extra weapon in the punting game, and then he's probably good from at least 40 to 45 yards on the field goals as well. So, and he had a nice game-winning field goal or a go-ahead field goal for them. Another concern is maybe Danville. They played Bloomsburg, and that was 10-0 until late into the first half. And now the Ironmen, they did get it together and kind of roll later on. And now they have the added pressure of being moving up to the number one team in the state in the PennLive.com rankings in Class 3A. That should be a fun one this week over at Mifflinburg. Both teams can score a lot of points. I think it's going to come down to who can move the ball better on the ground, and I think that edge goes to Danville. You know, Bo Sheptock had that huge game against Loyal Sock in the district finals last year. We had 303 yards on the ground and then started his senior season this year against Bloomsburg with more than 200. Wanted to touch on, you know, Selins Grove's got a pretty impressive game this week. They head down to Twin Valley. I'm sure Coach Briggs will get into this tomorrow on the roundtable, but Twin Valley is probably, you know, if it's not Jersey Shore or Danville, Twin Valley is probably the best team on the Seals schedule this season. They're led by a quarterback, Evan Myers, who threw for 200 yards and ran for more than 100 last week in a victory over Berks Catholic, who should be a contender in 3A in District 3. So, and they really had no problems with them. It'll be interesting. I feel like, you know, the Selins Grove defense is ready for that kind of matchup. I'm not sure how ready the offense is for that. They struggled a little bit in the passing game. Didn't really move the ball much offensively other than the first drive and then a late scoring drive, which was set up by a fumble deep in Juniata territory. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, with a week under their belts, how Selins Grove handles Twin Valley. Coach Roth and Southern Columbia. Coach Roth is going to go for win number 500 again. Touched on this a little bit Monday, but they did not play real well down at Wyomissing. Not sure that they were ready to answer the call against a team that I think moved up to number 5 in Class 4A. Really had problems moving the ball on the ground. Might have found the quarterback, Aiden Hockenbrock. Was splitting time with Anthony Martino, but the sophomore Hockenbrock played real well in that game. And now they get a Loyal Sock team that, you know, 4-6 turnovers, got a one-point win over Mifflinburg, had to stop a late two-point conversion, and then later on a final-minute drive with an interception for the Wildcats trying to get back into the game. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, Loyal Sock, like I said, got a lot of yards out of the running back. Their quarterback, Danny Dowell, is a first-year starter. I feel like, you know, they're going to need a little more out of him than they got on Friday night if they're going to beat Southern. And this game's out at Southern, and it's one of those games. I'm sure Southern remembers the last time Loyal Sock visited them, that they became the first District 4 team to beat Southern Columbia in nearly 12 years. You know, got a chance to see Jersey Shore as well. They were on TV against Dallas. They were able to rally to beat the Mountaineers in a game. You know, Jersey Shore, obviously a District 4 finalist last year. Dallas was a state finalist last year. You know, the interesting part to me was Jersey Shore really struggled offensively for the majority of the game. But after an opening drive, you know, the defense played real well against what was one of the top offensive teams in the state last year and had their three-year starter at quarterback back, but they were able to get some real good pressure on the ball. And so my thoughts on Jersey Shore maybe taking a step back, it all comes down to how comfortable Elijah Jordan gets at quarterback. It's a kid that's a first-year starter, was their halfback last season. Not a conventional quarterback. If you got a chance to watch that game on TV, kind of a weird throwing motion, kind of jumps into some of his passes, but a real great athlete. And they have, you know, it's one of those deals where you don't think about the Jersey Shore passing game much and some of the receivers that they've had, but they had a kid, Myers kid, that made a couple great plays, a couple one-on-one plays in cover, you know, against man coverage where they just kind of threw the ball up to him. He doesn't seem to, he's not more than 5'11", but can leap real well and made some great one-on-one plays in the passing game. And if they get that figured out, you got to figure, you know, among Jersey Shore, Selins Grove, and, you know, I feel like Shamokin probably, you know, if they play well this week and as well as I think they can in a road trip up to Lake Lehman, they have to be considered in there as well. And we'll see how that shakes out, because, you know, I think I talked about this a little bit on Monday. Shikalimi, you know, probably played well enough to win last Friday, but again, another close loss, and that seems to have plagued them early in the season last couple years. And we'll see how they bounce back mentally. They face Lewisburg, a team that's, you know, we just talked about, who's riding high. So it's going to be an interesting matchup over in Sunbury. Some other things locally. Shout out to Isaac Ayers, a soccer player, a boys soccer player at Lewisburg. broke his leg at the end of last season and wasn't and missed most of the rest of the soccer season and basically the rest of the Scholastic season. Came back for the Green Dragons on Monday afternoon and scored 4 goals in a victory against Warrior Run. So that was pretty neat to see. Cross country kicked off yesterday. Is that the right word? Started, I guess, with a gun. But working at the paper last night, I saw a fun thing. Haley Connor of Southern Columbia finished 5th in the girls' race over at Lewisburg, won by Mr. Greg Wetzel's granddaughter, Bailey Espinoza, and Elena Jacob, I think, was 2nd for Lewisburg. But anyway, Haley Connor of Southern Columbia finished 5th in the cross-country race in the afternoon. I think they start those at 5:15, and then the Southern Columbia hockey team, field hockey team, had a night game over at Danville, and she was able to make it over there, play for the Tigers, and then score the game-winning goal in overtime for the Tigers to beat Danville 1-0 in field hockey. So I just thought that was kind of cool and should be pointed out. So what do we got this week football-wise? So on Eagle 107, the Seals will head down to, like I said, the Tri-Valley to face the Raiders. The pregame kicks off at 6 o'clock on 107.3. Here on 1070 AM, Lewisburg will travel to Shikellamy to face the Braves at their new complex, which got rave reviews on Friday night and looked great on TV. Pregame kicks off at 6:30 on KOK. And then if you want to hear the Lewisburg side, that game is on the Valley on 100.9. And that game, they start at 6:30 as well. Both of those games should be highly entertaining. Like I said, I'm really interested to see how Selinsgrove handles Twin Valley. Twin Valley's coached by Brett Myers, who, if you're a statewide football fan, you might know that name. He coached Middletown to 3 straight state final appearances about 8-9 years ago, and Middletown didn't win any of those, but they were probably the top team in 3A and District 3 before Wyomissing's kind of gone in on this run over the last 4 or 5 years. So should be a great matchup for the Seals. I will be at Lewisburg and Shikellamy on Friday night. I think that might be one of the Loyal Sock, between Loyal Sock and Southern and Lewisburg and Schick, those are probably the 2 best games of the week. I'm sure we'll get into it in a couple weeks, but week 3 is a pretty big football week around here. Lime Mountain and Juniata play in the Capital Division of the Mid-Penn Conference. That's probably going to go a long way in figuring out who wins there. Jersey Shore and Selinsgrove is next week as well. I believe Southern and Milton play as well, which is a cool intersectional game. And that's one team I didn't really get into is the Milton Black Panthers. You know, they won that game in overtime against Shikellamy on Monday, and it was a pretty good performance. And now, you know, it's a team that's playing a much tougher schedule than it had a year ago. And the first kind of test in their first Division II game is a Montoursville team that heading up to Montoursville on Friday night. And I think it's going to give us a snapshot of both teams as we head, you know, an early season snapshot, because I think this is 2 evenly matched teams that, you know, this is a game in Class 3A that you're not going to think about when we're talking about home games and who might get one in Week 10, but this one could go a long way in deciding who is home in Week 11, just because it's 2 teams I expect to be, you know, 2 of the top 4 or 5 seeds in Class 3A when we hit the playoffs. So we will take our first break of the show here. We'll be back. Brandon Gauden joins us at 1:35, Neil Coulong at 2:05, and Mr. Matt Catrillo at 2:35 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun. Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors in the North Forest Great Auto Plaza is where you want to be in August for massive savings on new Fords. Pick from 39 of the fuel-efficient 2024 Ford Escapes with discounts up to $4,600. And Sunbury Motors has them priced at the lowest price ever offered, just $27,995. Choose from 19 of the iconic 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. And SMC has them slashed up to $6,100. And they start from just $27,995. Browse from 26 of the number one selling SUV of all time, the 2024 Ford Explorer, with savings up to $6,300, plus get 0% financing and priced from only $41,565. SMC has 37 2024 Ford F-150s with discounts up to $13,000, and they start from just $47,859. Sunbury Motors is a fourth generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
We are back here on the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. First weekend of Penn State football is Saturday. Kickoff is at noon. Steve and Jack are on the air at 10:30 in the morning, and that is where Steve is at here for this first segment. First Wednesday of Quarterback Club. Hopefully it went well for everybody. Don't know if you saw this. We had a taped show yesterday, but the Netflix Connor Stallions documentary debuted yesterday. Sounds like if you're a Michigan fan, it doesn't sound like it's changing many views. If you're a Michigan fan, you don't think much went on. If you're not a Michigan fan, there's a lot of questions there. And the one streaming service I don't have is Netflix, so I can't say how well it's done or anything. But I did find it interesting that, you know, Steve has brought up this point numerous times when we talk about it, how they dominated the first quarter. And, you know, the stories and the reviews from the national media is just over and over again about how, you know, there's no indication that this helped Michigan last year. There's no, you know, it seems like, you know, everybody wants this to be swept under the rug, I think, because I think it calls into question, you know, you don't want your national champion called into question. And, you know, the way they dominated the first half, the way that, you know how Ohio State feels about it. I think we can imply how Penn State feels about it more than the sense that I don't think Coach Franklin has been as adamant as Coach Day has been about it the last couple, you know, over this, you know, almost a year now since it started. But it's interesting to me how it's talked about like it didn't have any effect on Michigan's season. Like there's no indication that it helped them. And then Steve brings up the point about how, you know, how much help it is from the beginning of the game, you know, to know what's coming, to know, you know, that to script out what you think might be, you know, how they're going to attack your defense, and then to know what defense is coming as that script is being read is huge as well. So, you know, I think there's a little more to this story. I don't think that it's one of those things that, you know, it's that we might not find out the full story for a few years, just because people don't want you to know the full story, because just how it reflects on last year's national champion. Yesterday was cut down day in the NFL. No real surprises. 2021 first round of the draft kind of took a hit. Kadarius Toney at Kansas City, will probably be finding his third team today or tomorrow after being cut by the Chiefs. I don't think that's anybody's surprise. One of the things that sticks out of me for the first part of me being on this show is how many times we talked about Kadarius Toney and his drops in January and in late December. So it's not a surprise there. Caleb Farley of the Tennessee Titans and Virginia Tech was another first-round pick in 2021 that was cut yesterday. I think it's 5 years usually. Do you have to make that decision? So, you know, you're getting rid of it's a mistake if you're getting rid of somebody that early. Teams had a chance at noon to claim players before teams could put their players that they cut back on the practice squad. I didn't see many surprises there. I did see that the Steelers didn't pick anybody up, which is a little bit of a surprise because I think people expected them to maybe make a move in their receiver room before the first game of the season in 10 days. But they did not do that yet. That will wrap up with this first half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brandon Gauden will join us at 1:35. Steve should be back by then. Neil Coulong at 2:05. We'll talk a little more Steelers. Matt Cotrillo at 2:35. I'm guessing that's going to be some Yankees talk because seems pretty happy around the Eagles right now. And then tomorrow we have our high school roundtable at 1:35, and John Sauber of the Center Daily Times is going to join us to talk a little bit about Penn State football here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Always great to be joined by the outstanding, I don't care what the sport is, Brandon Gauden. First of all, my friend, it is wonderful to hear you on the other end again.
I know, it's been too long, and we don't get to see each other as often as we once did, but no. I hope you're doing well, friend.
Yeah, same here. Everything's going well. I want to ask you about the Braves situation. I want to go there first because that's what's taking you down there, a spot that you earned. What has it been like to be, for the last couple of years, around a Major League Baseball team almost every day in the summer?
It's been awesome. You know, I've been very fortunate to have the chance to call football, basketball, and baseball, and that's what I wanted to do since I was 6 or 7 years old growing up in southern Indiana. But at that time, when I was growing up there in the late 80s and early 90s, Braves baseball was on TBS every night. And Steve, I know you remember that well. And that's how I kind of fell in love with not only broadcasting, but baseball. And so the Braves became my team. And then you fast forward three decades later, last year when that job opened up, I always told myself, you know, I was enjoying doing the stuff for Fox and Big Ten Network. And I'm thankful to still have the chance to do that on the side. But I always told myself if there was a quote unquote team job that was really appetizing to me at the pro level, it would be the Braves because of my longstanding ties to them as a fan. And when that job opened up, I was fortunate enough to get it, and now 2 years in, it's been phenomenal. It's a phenomenal organization. It's a great team last year, a team this year that had a lot of stars that have been injured, but still right now they're in the spot of being in the playoffs. And so it's been a really wonderful and rewarding two-year run so far.
Okay, so I'll give you a Skip Carey story. All right, you'll love this. I think they're playing the Giants out in San Francisco, and I'm watching the game. Like I said, you and I grew up watching Braves games on TBS. And he has to do a promo. And he says, well, as soon as whomever it is at the plate hits into a 6-4-3 double play, it'll be the outlaw Josie Wales. And the very next pitch, grounder to short, 6-4-3. Eastwood is next.
He was the best, man. And look, I'm biased because that was the voice of my youth. But there was something about his style and his mix of humor and that very dry humor that he had that I just found it so entertaining every night.
So I want to ask you about this. the mixture of analytics with gameplay and stories, what kind of balance do you try to strike with that? Because to be honest with you, a lot of fans aren't really in tune with a lot of the analytics either.
Yeah, I kind of more gear more towards stories for what you and I do for baseball specifically.
Yep.
I think that bringing the people and the players to life, that tends to ring truer with the viewers than too many numbers. I try to stick to the bigger numbers, kind of like the old school guys do. Batting average is still big for me. Home runs and runs driven in, I still think those are the three that for a viewer, okay, 20 homer, 60 RBI, and you're in the middle of a season. Okay, I can sink my teeth into that. That's easy to digest. I think sometimes you can go too over the top with some of these numbers and the letters next to the number that people have a hard time grasping. Okay, what did you just tell me right there? I understand you gave me a little bit of information, but I don't exactly know what it meant. So I tend to go bigger picture numbers, Steve, and then I gear more towards stories. And I do think that baseball lends itself well to that mixture because you do have the extra time, even with a pitch clock and the game moving quicker. I think it has time to lend itself to those stories more.
Yeah, never tell a story, though, with two outs. I mean, that was always the Vin Scully thing. Never tell it with two. But it's interesting you bring that up because that's what I was talking about with my broadcasting class today. I said, remember who you're broadcasting to. Remember, it's got to be stuff they can relate to. You're not trying to impress everybody else with what you're trying to do, okay? So I said you got to think about that. What do they know? What can they sit back? And they can relate to homers, RBIs, doubles, triples, things like that. That's part of the game to them.
Yeah, and I always say this too, Steve. You're never going to be able to hit 100% of your audience,
even when
Jim Nance is calling the Super Bowl or Joe Buck. There's always going to be a couple basic football numbers that there's going to be somebody watching that they don't even understand that, and that's okay. You could never cover 100%, but I think where you get into trouble is when you're relaying stuff that only 10 to 15%. So I always say, try to hit the sweet spot, the stuff that most of your audience can grab onto. It can't, if it's something like number that always, the way that number based, but that puts him in the top 2% of hitters. And then they can at least say, okay, well, that's really good. And look, I have not perfected it by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure, like you, still listen to a ton of games and try to say, okay, what does this person do that's better than what I do that maybe I could do a little bit better, and try to incorporate that into my broadcast.
Okay, Eli Gold, who did Alabama for decades, he and I were talking a couple of years ago, and because I do football, basketball, baseball, just like you do, and that's what Eli did for many years until he finally, at the end, zeroed in on football. And he said to me, he says, Steve, and I agree with this completely, the change in sports keeps me fresh. Does that apply to you?
Oh, yes. Are there a lot of commonalities in all three? 100%. But the prep for a football game versus a basketball game versus a baseball game, for me, they are three completely different processes.
Yes.
And I think calling the games, it's three different cadences. Football, you have so much going on. There's 22 guys out there. Players are flying around on every snap, and you've got to keep track of what all is going on. And sometimes they'll go up tempo, especially in college. Sometimes they'll slow it down, and you've got 20 seconds in between every play. So that really keeps you on your toes. Basketball is boom, 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 boom. But the pace of it, you know what you're getting, and you're pretty much getting the same thing on every possession. And baseball, even with the pitch, is that slower time to be able to incorporate more story, more personality, more back and forth with your analyst. I say that there are three different tap dances. It's all tap dance classes that I love to attend, but it's not one size fits all, Steve, and I know that you agree with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you along the way, and I think it's the varying paces that keep you fresh, and that to me is a big part of it. And the preparation is different for each one of them, without question, especially baseball. There's a lot of stuff you can put together, but, for example, I pretty much know the starting lineup for this week's game. I don't know the batting order for tonight's game. I mean, it's my West Virginia week. I got State College, West Virginia tonight. Then I got Penn State, West Virginia coming up. And I have no idea what the batting order is, but I have a pretty good handle on the starting lineup for Penn State on Saturday. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of little nuances like that. And, you know, when I do football, I think one of the toughest things is, like I was talking about, the different paces that the teams play with and all the players flying around. But I love that. It's a different challenge. And then you go to basketball and everything just speeds up on you. And I try to tell myself, okay, even though they're going really fast out there, if you talk too fast, your viewer gets overwhelmed or your listener gets overwhelmed. You still have to control your cadence and deliver the message and speak clearly. And yeah, I think going to season to season, it's kind of a fresh start, if you will, with each new sport. And it does keep you kind of on your toes for all these different things that come your way.
The Madden part of it is interesting because I was talking with Drew Aller, KJ Winston, and Tyler Dzanski, three football players today, and I brought up the EA Sports game that they're in. And I asked them, I said, what's it been like racking it up there and you see yourself? And Drew said, I don't look anything like that guy. It's like, right? They said it was a little different and a little weird. You've done Madden forever. Well, it seems like forever, but, you know, a long, long time. How many people stop you and they hear you talk and they mention Madden to you?
It's less so that they're stopping me because they don't. Most of them don't know what I look like. Some do, but not many. It's more so when I'll just randomly be in an Uber in Minneapolis and I'll start in a conversation with them, and it'll be a young guy usually, and my name pops up obviously as their writer is Brandon, and in the course of conversation they'll say, wait, do you do the video game? And that doesn't happen a ton, but when it has happened, that's usually the thing. I will say it's been 8 years now since I've done it, and that is always the first thing that anybody that wants to talk about my profession, that's always the first thing they want to discuss. It's not the Penn State game I did last week or the basketball game I did 2 weeks ago. Or it's never that. It's always, so what all goes into that Madden video game? So it's, you know, it's cool. It's been an honor to do it. It's something I never in a million years thought that I would be doing. It wasn't even on my radar. But it's been great. And you know, Charles Davis, the analyst, he's as good as gold. And to be able to work with him over the last 8 years has been the cherry on top of everything.
Is there a nicer guy in the business? I mean, really.
Maybe you, Steve. Maybe you.
Oh, I don't know about that. but Charles Davis is like, you want to talk about a gold standard guy. Holy mackerel. How much has it helped you that you have a home studio with all the changes Madden will give you in a week?
Oh, my gosh. So pre-pandemic, so when I started doing the game, 2016, I think it was, so we would go to Orlando every week. We would record. So I would do a football game either on Saturday or Sunday, whether it was college or NFL. Monday morning, I'd take the first flight down to Orlando. We would record Monday from 10 to 3 and Tuesday from 10 to 3. And then I would take the last flight back from Orlando to Atlanta and then start prepping for whatever I had that next weekend. And it would get a little tougher during the basketball season because then you're doing two or three basketball games and trying to fit those Orlando trips in between. So it wasn't the work itself and recording wasn't the challenge, right? Like, it's better than digging ditches for a living, so I'm not complaining about that at all. It was just the logistics of, can I get there on time? Will my flight be delayed? That was the headache. So when COVID happened and they put a little mini studio in each of our houses, it just made it so much more freeing so that I know if I've got a recording studio on a Tuesday morning and I've got a flight out of Atlanta Hartsfield Airport that night, I don't have to worry about getting anywhere in between. I can just do my session from 8 to noon, have lunch, get my bags packed, and go to the airport. So from a logistics standpoint, it just made everything a lot more freeing.
Yeah. I mean, no question about that. Now, do you have to follow the exact script they give you, or do you have any poetic license liberty because of your style, or you know that's the right way to call it?
Well, the guy who writes the script, Ed Brady, he used to do MLB The Show for a long time, and now he's done Madden, and he's also the lead on the college football game. He does a really good job. It's not easy because all the lines are short lines that are then stitched together to sound like longer lines, so it's very difficult for him to write the game. But I pretty much, because of the parameters and I know the guidelines they've got to stick to, when I'm doing my play-by-play only portion, I will pretty much just read verbatim what he wrote. When it's Charles and I, they will just put in their suggested bullet points and they give us a lot of leeway to go back and forth. They want us to laugh, to step on it. They want it to sound natural, right? Yeah. So that's where they give us the leeway to be a little less robotic.
You have to work with it. See, now, this is a major advantage I have. When I do baseball, I'm with a guy named Joe Putnam, who's terrific. When I'm doing football, it's with Jack Ham. When I'm doing basketball, it's with Dick Girardi. Right? So I'm with the same people all the time. You have to switch up all the time in terms of who you are working with. What does it take for you to get used to their cadence, their style, and so forth, when you have to make so many changes during the course of a year?
Yeah, so I will, if it's somebody I'm working with for the first time, and now that's pretty rare because most of the guys, whether it's during basketball or football, or certainly now with Braves baseball, there's four or five of them, and I've worked with all of them enough. But if I'm going in and I know that I'm going to work with somebody new, I will get a tape of two of their broadcasts, and I will go back and I will listen and just really try to hone in on their style. Okay, when do they like to jump in? When do they like to be silent? Do they like to be prompted? Do they usually jump in unprompted? And I try to, okay, at least make a few mental notes going in so that I can do my job to set them up in the spots that they want to be put in. But most of these guys, I mean, you know, Steve, when they're doing these games at the college or pro level, these analysts are usually very polished. They've done it before. Mm-hmm. They're easy to work with. They're just tremendous at what they do. And so that makes our job a lot easier of trying to drive the bus, if you will, and take them to those spots. So, you know, knock on wood, I really, and I'm not just saying this to save face, I have not had a bad analyst experience.
No, I really
haven't. I've had guys that have been wanting to go back and forth, that have asked questions, that have wanted to learn, that I've wanted to learn from them. And so it's been a really good give and take.
I've got to ask you about the Braves themselves. As you hit the stretch run, what kind of blow was it when Acuña got hurt, and what kind of blow was it when Spencer Strider got hurt?
Yeah, so for those listening that don't follow baseball much, I mean, you're talking about the reigning MVP in Ronald Acuña Jr. tears his ACL for the second time. Strider was one of the odds of the Cy Young. He gets hurt the first month of the season. So two horses, and since then, and just injury after injury. All told this year, the Braves have had six All-Stars that have missed at least 2 months. So overcome. So when you put all of that in, for them right now to be 12 comfortably wild card spots, even though the Phillies in the East, one of the managing jobs of Braves manager Brian Snitker has done in his nine seasons. Now, they're still a month of baseball. They could fall flat on their face and not get in. I don't think that's going to happen. That's not what I want to happen. But I think what they've been able to do in overcoming all of these injuries has been pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I think so, too, because, I mean, there's a lot. It's a really good, deep lineup, but those are two critical guys in the rotation and obviously in that lineup that would make anybody better. Now, I know in the end there's 13 games with the Phillies because it's a divisional rival.
Yes.
So let me ask you, in the times you've seen the Phillies, what have you thought of them?
So the Phillies have obviously stubbed their toe here over the last 6 weeks. I mean, for the first half of baseball, there's no question they were the best team. I know the Dodgers have a lot of firepower, the Yankees too, and I know those are two sexy franchises. But if you stopped at the Midsummer Classic and said, okay, what team through the first half played the best, it was the Philadelphia Phillies. Mm-hmm. I think the version of them that is real is probably somewhere in the middle. I think that they're one of the best teams in baseball. They have so much talent. And what the Braves, I think, have struggled to match in the last two postseasons with the Phillies is the Phillies just kind of have that Philly attitude of, we're going to go out there and we're going to beat you. We don't care who's on the other side. Push comes to shove, we're winning that baseball game. And I think that attitude has really played well for them in those series against the Braves. Now, for them, it obviously hasn't translated into a World Series title, but I still think, you look right now, no team in baseball is running away with this. What you have is a bunch of, I think, good teams, not great teams, and it's who's going to play great at the right time, and that'll be interesting to see. But that four-game series coming up that starts tomorrow between the Braves and the Phillies in Philadelphia, I think that will ultimately go a long way to deciding who wins the NL East, because right now the Phillies, six games up, there's no doubt they're the favorites. And if they would split or certainly take three or four games, I think they would put the Braves so far behind the eight ball that it would be hard for Atlanta to recover.
Final question for you, Brandon. I appreciate all the time, as always, my friend. And that is, I had not been in Atlanta for a little bit, and then I came in to do the Peach Bowl, and it was really different going by where Turner Field had been and Fulton County Stadium had been, and now Georgia State plays football there because the Braves are now out in Cobb County. You've obviously come on board since they've gone out there, but how have they felt about, as an organization, about the move out of the downtown area to the suburban area?
I think ideally they would have been able to stay downtown. It just didn't work out. And that was, as you said, before my time when they made that move in 2017. But what I can speak to is how successful they have been in Cobb County in the northwest suburbs. And the reason is because they found a big plot of land for not very much money, and they said, we are going to make this a destination. Not only are we going to put the ballpark up, we're going to put shops and restaurants, and we're going to have a hand in all of the revenue that not only comes in via the tickets, but also the merchandise and the stuff outside the ballpark in these shops and bars and restaurants. It was a really smart thing. It's a thing that a lot of professional sports teams are starting to go to, and the Braves were kind of on the front end of that. And they are really reaping the benefits. It has been a huge success. There are a lot of Braves fans because of the TBS days that will kind of make a pilgrimage to come to Atlanta for a series in the summer and go to that battery area that it's called around the ballpark and eat and drink and be merry and spend a lot of money. And all of that goes to the Braves. And so it's been a raving success. I think anybody that you ask for the Braves organization would tell you that.
Well, the unfortunate thing is we don't get to see each other often enough. I just appreciate the fact that you gave us some time today, and we will talk soon, I hope.
Always, my man. Look forward to seeing you during hoops if I don't see you before, and good luck with the football season.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. Brandon Gowden, I'm one of the best in the business. I don't care if it's football, basketball, baseball. He is outstanding. This half hour, being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Neil Coulong still to come on today's show, I do believe, as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
High school football roundtable, by the way, coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Week two of the high school football season. So 2 weeks of the high school football season will be under our belts before Labor Day. Amazing.
Regular season is over before Halloween. Still sounds weird.
did you have Cotrillo on in the first? Or is he at the end?
He's at the end.
Yeah, but I told you to save the best for last.
I know, but I didn't want to fill the whole half hour by myself.
So we got, what, Neil next half hour and then Cotrillo at the end?
Yep, and the round table and John Salver is going to come on at 2:35 tomorrow.
Oh, it sounds good. It'll be a fun show. All right. It's half hour. Been brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.